irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. I'm here with Jen on a Friday morning. Beautiful outside.
Friday. I didn't even realize it was Friday.
It is Friday, Jen. You get a couple days off.
Well, sort of.
Unless you're working.
Always, right?
Do you have to work on the weekend this weekend?
Saturday I have class, training, and work. And then Sunday I think I'm off.
Oh, okay, good. So you'll get to sleep in a little bit.
Yeah, it's my day with no alarm.
That's if your cats allow that.
Yes, that's true. I was telling Sam that since I've recently brought my cats from the East Coast, they've been acclimating to my space. We're still in the closed in my room space. They're not really too keen on the rest of the apartment. Well, the boy is.
Yeah.
The girl's just been kind of hiding out a bit,
which
is, it's unlike them. Usually he's the one hiding and she's the one adventuring out. So
really?
Yeah, she had a little bit of a traumatic go on the on the flight. She wasn't very happy. But in the middle of the night, they keep ricocheting off of things in my room and landing on the bed and landing on my feet or trying to grab my feet. And just lots of...
Do you comfort them and stuff?
Sometimes they're just like chasing each other,
right?
And you got to let them do their
no,
zoomies.
That's true. But I mean, you want her to feel... like, I guess, more comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? They get lots of treats and lots of probably unwanted hugs from mommy. And so many smushies. It's great.
Well, that's good. You know? I mean, the cats deserve attention, I believe. And that's good. I just, I don't know. I like cats. I like them. But, you know, not really mine. You know,
other people's cats. Yeah.
Same with dogs, too. You know,
that's what my mom says, too. She's like, I like dogs. I like other people's dogs.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, and
what I love is like the feuds between cat people and dog people, because cat people are always like, yeah, I like dogs, too. Like, I just happen to have cats because whatever, their schedule permits it more, because you have to be around more for dogs. And dog people who are strictly dog people, they're like, oh, I like dogs. I hate cats.
Right.
You know, they hate everything else but dogs, you know. But
that's funny.
Yeah. There's a huge cat versus dog person on war on social media, which
oh really?
Yeah, it's really interesting to like read through on cat videos. Like, you'll have one video where somebody, like, look, owners don't always cut their cat's nails, right? So like, if the cat is trying to get out of your arms, if you're holding it, they're not going to scratch you, but with them trying to push off, you might get scratched by
accident.
They
grab,
people are like, oh, they scratched me, but that's not the case, right? Or if their nail gets snagged on something and then they freak out and then everyone's like, oh, this is why I don't want cats. And it's like the cat's fingernail
can happen
was like,
to a dog too.
Yeah, and like their fingernail was like stuck on your sweater. Like, give them a break, you know.
Good.
But
the fingernails are like hooks, you know. I mean,
they literally are. And they just come to like the pointiest little point.
Right.
Yeah.
So they can hurt as much as possible.
Other
people.
I know. And my girl cats, so they're real pointy. It's like it's like baby nails. You know how babies have those very thin fingernails that just paper cut you everywhere. Could say that about babies, you know?
That's true.
Babies scratch and they're dangerous.
Wow. I have seen some people put that stuff on their nails, right?
The little clips.
Yeah, like little plastic or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like my cat would get that off.
They probably would.
She just likes to bite the tip of her nail and pull back really hard. Yeah.
Jeez. I know. My brother's dog had was neutered, and he's got that, you know, like that plastic cone.
Oh yeah,
around his head.
Always great to
and
see.
And he's crazy with that, you know. And, I mean, it's a puppy, and he's already huge, you know?
Mm.
So he walks around with that thing and bumps into everything and stuff. It's so funny, you know?
It's an awkward age when they're going from like puppy or kitten to adult because they're awkward and they don't have like a proper gauge of how much space they take up or,
right.
or how to jump. Even my cats were really clumsy when they were kittens growing into regular size.
Yeah.
You know,
that's crazy. You know, I mean, those cones, they got to come up with something better. I mean, if I had something like that on, I would die, man.
Well, they do something now that looks like those, air, like, you
know, yeah, like the pillows the on the airplanes. Yeah, yeah. That's what, his daughter was saying, so maybe that's better, you know?
Maybe, yeah. But it depends on your dog's range.
Right.
Of something with a cat really probably couldn't have a cone because they're so flexible.
Right.
They could still get to whatever spot they're trying to get to.
Right.
So a cat would probably need a cone still.
But right.
They make cute ones. They have ones that look like sunflowers. It's really funny. And just their little face is the center of the flower.
I think what really traumatizes the dog is he can't lick his balls for a while.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. It's very true. They
enjoy that quite a bit.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Well, now he won't have any to lick, so.
Yeah, exactly.
The space of what once was.
I know. It's kind of gross.
You know?
Wow.
Just got an empty bag now.
Yeah. Jeez. Oh, man, the pain people and dogs have to go through. My God, man.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you for joining us. My phone's gone. Oh, I have a timer on the phone and the watch. Why? Probably just got pressed. So we're going to have a guest calling in.
Yes, we are.
We missed guests in the studio, I guess. I miss that.
Yeah.
I really do.
It's nice to have that energy in the room sometimes.
Right.
You know?
So I miss that every day, and I keep counting down the days when we'll be able to open again. But I don't know. It doesn't seem anytime close.
Yeah, it feels like things are really just moved to remote positions.
Yeah. But they are saying that the cases have gone down a bit with the vaccines, right? The COVID cases. They're saying a lot. It's been down quite drastically.
In L.A.?
Well, no, in general.
In general, yeah. I think L.A. hasn't changed much.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. But I went out yesterday with my son. We went to a restaurant. We sat in the parking lot.
That's nice.
But it was better than nothing, you know?
Yeah. Why not sit at, like, the outdoor dining area?
Right. Well, that's where it was, in the parking lot.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Because some places don't have...
I thought you meant you were eating in your car.
No,
like
no.
Picnic.
No, forget about that, man. No, I mean, I was happy to be at a restaurant. It's just that it's kind of weird to sit in the parking lot, you know? But you make do with what you have.
Some places have done a really nice job creating ambiance. I went to this one Mexican restaurant in a... was it Echo Park or something? And they had the whole parking lot blocked off and they had string lights and they had like created this whole like wooden structure and then added like vines on it. And it just like, it looked really nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was cute.
I know they're in for the long haul, it seems, you know, but I don't know. I wonder if they, when they recall Newsom and if he loses, if things are going to change, but I sure am hoping that things are going to change before that, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's crazy. It's just crazy what's going on here, you know? And people are complaining and businesses are down quite a bit. And it's sad, you know? I mean, have you noticed you go into small stores, they tell you no more than 3 or 4 people at the time, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
When I was at the airport, I wanted to stop into, you know, just one of those like news stores that have gum and snacks and water and stuff. And I wanted to grab a few things and 2 people in the store at a time. And
really?
So I was in a line of like 15 people, maybe.
Jeez.
Just to get into the news store. And I had just waited for 25 minutes in line at Cafe Bean to get a to get a latte or something. And I'm 3 people away from it being my turn. And the woman just yells out, "We're only doing coffee right now."
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay. So I walk up and I was like, "So just coffee, like no espresso?" She's like, "No espresso." I was like, "Okay, I'll take like a cold brew or something." She goes, "We're only doing drip coffee." And I was like, "Come on."
The fastest way they can.
Like, I can't do a drip coffee.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Jeez.
Not from Cafe Bean anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was like someone's like, all my Italian friends, whenever I go to their homes for dinner, their grandmothers always make the best drip coffee.
Right.
It's the best.
Oh, drip coffee.
But I'm not getting it from like
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I know. I can't drink that either. That's why I have an espresso machine. And when I go to other people's houses, I don't drink coffee
mm-hmm.
unless they make me an espresso.
Yeah. It always sucks. I've actually been going to La Colombe. Have you ever been?
No.
Amazing. So La Colombe is a Philly company, and I grew up outside of Philly. So most of the restaurants, not most, I'll say a lot of the restaurants in Philly, especially Star Restaurants, which is a very popular restaurant owner on the East Coast, they all do La Colombe coffee. So I kind of grew up drinking a lot of La Colombe, and they have one like a mile away from my apartment.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and normally I go to Starbucks because they deal with my specifications and all the things that I need.
They probably hate you.
I've talked to them before. I'm like, is this an annoying order? They're like, this is nothing. And I've baristed right. before too, so I know what orders can look like right. for sure. People are like, I want three shots, but two of them decaf. Two, like one and a half of them decaf and one and a half of them regular. And then I want like 3 ounces of milk. And then I want 2 inches of foam. Like people get really wow. specific. Yeah.
Yeah. What the hell's wrong with people, man?
Everything.
I mean, what is it, you know? And I'm sure they train those baristas to actually deal with that stuff.
Yeah.
But still, you know, I mean, come on. You know, it's a little bit rude, I think, to start with that, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
what the hell? And they're holding up the line
yeah.
because they need all these special instructions.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really irritating, so...
It's the worst when you work in a restaurant and people do that and they completely modify the dish. Right. And then the dish comes out and they're like, this is a really weird dish. This isn't what I expected. I was wow. like, well, you changed more than 50% of the items in this dish, so this is not... the dish that the chef approved of.
Right.
So when I started working in higher end restaurants, the chefs would decline order changes more than just taking out, like if there's onions, they would maybe take out the onions or something if it was an allergy. But I loved that about working in yeah. higher end restaurants is because the chefs are like, no, you don't want to eat my dish. You're not going to eat my dish.
Yeah.
So it is how it is. I loved that. And then I worked at that restaurant in Beverly Hills here and every single person modified every single dish so much. I can't even.
So you think that's a problem of privilege, like people that are that feel better than others or something, or what is it about?
I think there's just very particular people. Like when I worked, I would say Beverly Hills is pretty comparable to the clientele of a restaurant I worked in on the Upper West Side in New York.
Right.
It's like older, like New York money. They're all just very like specific. They're like, right. I want this salad, but I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this. Instead, I want this. I want half the dressing on the salad, the other half the dressing on the side. And I want you to split the salad 2/3 in one bowl, 1/3 in a package to go. And I want half the chicken on the side to take home for my dog.
Fuck that shit,
man. And you're like, and it's always the turn and burn restaurants. Like the restaurant right. in Beverly Hills that I worked at, we would have 25 tables each. 25 tables.
Right.
When I worked in a high-end restaurant, we were constantly slammed. Like we would do 1,000, 1,200 covers a night. And I would have maybe 3 to 5 tables on the busiest nights. And I was slammed. It was also right. a huge restaurant, so you have a lot of space to walk.
Right.
But the turn and burn restaurants are always the worst with that.
Really?
Yeah, you're just hustling, and you're in the middle of like a lunch rush and you have like another 15 tables. You have people waving the checkbook at you and someone else is like asking for a pen and paper, and then someone else wants to put their order. Someone else wants to cancel or modify their order once it's already been put in for 15 minutes. Someone else wants to know where their food is. Someone else wants a lemonade, and then you bring them a lemonade, and then 3 other people at the table want a lemonade, and then you come back and then someone else wants a coffee. You're like, listen, I will get you whatever you need, but just tell me all at once. Right. You know, you just yeah. hate the one at a time. And yeah, and then everyone's just sitting there taking your time. Well, can you tell me which region that this wild salmon was caught in? And I'm like, the Atlantic Ocean. They're like, well, I've literally been asked for the coordinates of where the fish was caught.
Are you serious?
I'm like, I don't think the fishermen even know the coordinates.
Yeah.
You know?
Jeez, man. I mean, people are so fucking spoiled.
Yeah, I'm like, why do you need to know the coordinates? I'm like, what do you know about the ocean that right. I don't know that you the know, coordinates
I
mean, matter?
I just feel like I'm bothering them if I ask for ketchup or something or salt, you know?
Exactly. I'm like, I'm so sorry, but could I please yeah. have a side of avocado?
Yeah, thank you so much, you know?
Yeah.
And something like that, you know? It's
I
like,
know.
You don't want to bother them, but some people don't give a shit. They're like, you know, and then they probably tip you like shit too, you know.
But I'll tell you, servers are happy for the most part, mostly everyone I've worked with. They're happy to get nice people whatever they need,
right?
But just ask for as much of it at one time as possible.
Right.
You know?
That's what my son was telling me because he was a bartender. And he's like, I have three guys, for example, coming in. One of them will order the beer. I bring the beer. The other guy's like, oh, I'll have the same thing.
Mm.
You go back. You make another one. Then the third guy's like, oh, I'll have that too. You know, it's like, why don't you just order it all in advance, you know?
Exactly.
Together.
Yeah. It's so much quicker. It saves so much more time.
But, you know, when people go out, they don't pay attention to shit like that. You know, that's what I'm saying, you know?
That's why I mean, think, like, how in Israel it's mandatory to serve in the service. I think in America everyone should have to work in the food industry for like 2 years out of high school and then go to college
to appreciate it.
I honestly think that it would create so much more peace and understanding if people knew what it was like to serve each other. You know,
true that. I know, what can you do, you know?
I would become president and make that mandatory.
Shit that's going on, I don't think it's going to be at the top of the list.
Well,
but, you know, whatever.
It would be nice. It would be so nice.
I know. You know, we were talking about dogs, and they you know how some people rate the beauty of people based on the golden ratio. Do you know what the golden ratio is?
Mm-mm.
It's like they found that in nature, well, it's a mathematical equation sort of like, but they rate the beauty of humans because it kind of like deals with symmetry and things like that, you know? So, but like flowers and animals, whatever, you know? The way they build buildings, or they've always built them, you know, like shrines or castles, whatever. They integrate that into it. So now they decided to rate dogs based on that, right? So which are the cutest dogs? That's what they're rating here.
They're all so different.
I know, you know, but they're like the cutest dogs according to the golden ratio, okay?
Probably Samoyed.
The top one is Dalmatian.
Really?
Know. Yeah.
I mean, it's a beautiful dog, but nothing beats a Samoyed.
Really?
Yeah. They're just like gorgeous. But also, how can you compare a golden retriever and a pug? Like people who get pugs,
they love them.
They love them because like it's like that ugly cute. You know, same as Shih Tzus. Like, you gotta like.
But this is just based on how they're. I guess they're structured or something, you know?
Yeah.
The second one is Irish Water Spaniel. That's a little cute. Wire Fox Terrier. So definitely not Labrador Retrievers, number four.
I'm surprised that's not higher up.
I know. Basset Hound, number five. And Samoyed, number six.
Yeah, Samoyed's number one all the way. They're just like, does it show you a picture on there?
Yeah, they're pretty.
Yeah, so pretty and fluffy. But the only problem with those kind of dogs, and because I would always, my whole life, I've always wanted a husky.
Yeah.
They scream.
Really?
Yeah, they scream.
What do you mean?
If you search on there, maybe we could play a little tidbit.
Okay, I just missed the call, goddammit.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. Because I had the screen covered. Please call back, guest. I'm sure they will. So, but yeah, you know, I mean, yeah. What are you saying? You've seen something about the dog, yeah.
Oh, yeah, husky scream.
Yeah, what do you mean? They just like...
They scream.
They howl like...
It's not even a howl. It's like a howl that turns into a scream.
Wow.
When they don't want to do things.
Really?
They're really stubborn.
Does it sound like a human scream?
It sounds like... Let's see if I can find one.
Yes, please call back if you're listening. We're here. We're waiting for the call. It just my screen was covered. I didn't
see it. Will it work if I hold it up?
Wow. Wow, they do that?
Yeah, they do that.
Wow.
So there's dogs that are in the Spitz family, and they're usually kind of like colder region dogs, like Samoyeds, Huskies. And sometimes Shiba Inus are actually pretty quiet dogs. But yeah, they do scream.
Yeah, they scream. Okay, here comes the call again. Yes. So we're going to take the call now. We're going to be talking to Ricardo. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead. Hello. You with us?
Hello, Sam.
Yes.
Hi.
Ricardo.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. We're good. How are you doing? Thank you for calling back. I didn't see the call the first time around, but we've got you on the air now, so that's important.
Where are you calling from?
I'm right west of Toluca Lake.
Okay, great.
Oh, it's so you're
right,
in LA.
Right in between in Sherman Oaks and Studio City.
Yeah.
Great.
In the valley.
Right, right. That's where our studios are in Sherman Oaks, but right now we're not in the studios, so they're so we're not really there. But Toluca Lake is a pretty nice area. It's
yeah.
cool. You know
yeah,
what
I
they have?
I saw you guys got the 818 number, so you're pretty
right.
close here in the valley.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Ricardo, how do you pronounce your last name for me?
Well, in Spanish, H is mute. So in Spanish, it would be Herranz.
Herranz.
But in English, it would be Herranz.
Okay.
So whichever way you choose will be correct. Herranz or Herranz.
Okay. Ricardo Herranz. We'll call you the
We'll call you the real one.
The real one.
There you go.
Thank you for calling in. So you're in the LA area, I understand, because you guys are shooting your series out here. Is the show still running, or... I mean, are you still filming, like, new episodes and stuff for the series?
Well, yes, we have. You know, we pretty much even shot through the pandemic at certain point, and right now we're pretty much going through post-production in the later second season of the first season, at the later second half of the first season. We already have the first four episodes already uploaded on Tubi, and we're basically going to upload the next two episodes, 5 and 6, within the next month or so, and then for the following month, then we'll pretty much we'll be ready for 7 and 8 to have a full 8-episode season.
Oh wow,
love it!
Very cool. So tell us about the name of the TV series, and I have it in front of me, but I want you to tell us.
Yes, the name is Sangre Negra, which means black blood.
Sangre.
It's pretty much connected to, it's pretty much an analogy connected to the way the crime and the lawlessness can run sometimes through a big city like LA without really most people knowing what's going on politically, economically, socially, under the covers of the organized crime, basically, and the organized politics that are connected to it, too.
Right.
So it's quite interesting to kind of develop that plot and to see how many other subplots can really develop from such point.
Right. And this this is, concentrated on a family, on a there's like, what, three brothers and the father, and... This is organized crime, right? I mean, not all of them. Tell us a little bit about this. Yeah.
Yeah, it's about the Santos family, which is basically one of the most powerful families in the West Coast. The family is pretty much led by the patriarch, who is played by Eric Estrada. The name of the character is Guillermo Santos Sr., and he's a longtime politician, you know, socialite, economolite. He's involved in just about everything that's important in society. He had three sons. The eldest one, who happened to be a son he had outside of marriage when he was basically a teenager, and that would be Ricky Santos, who is the one son that wants to be pretty much the new godfather for the West Coast, controlling all the organized crime. Then the middle son, who is played by me, and that would be Guillermo Santos Jr. And I play a very prominent lawyer, soon to be district attorney, and pretty much the character that keeps the balance between the good and evil in the family.
Right.
Because to that, then we have the younger brother, who is the most prominent detective in LAPD and most condecorated, and the number one sworn enemy of the eldest brother of the family. So I keep pretty much the balance between the good and evil within the family. It's kind of like being in the middle of JR and Bobby in Dallas, basically.
Yeah, in Dallas. This is before your time, right?
Yeah.
I remember Dallas, though. But that's pretty cool. So I would imagine how they can start, like, butting heads together when they're on both sides of the law.
Oh, my God, yes. And so we actually have a line that describes our character that's really short but pretty concrete. You know, it's the lawlessness and the lawbreaker.
Oh, wow. Wow. So,
and it's quite interesting to see the dynamics of combining both aspects. What could be the dynamics of a dysfunctional family to certain points in many ways,
right?
And also that connected to how that even could be even seen in the organized crime or even in politics, right, which can be sometimes so crazy and so dysfunctional in some ways, can actually work in others, you know. So it's kind of interesting how reality can connect the dots sometimes.
Right. Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, it sounds fascinating to me, you know, because you can run with this combination in many different directions, you know.
So yeah, no, I agree.
It is. And you know, it's interesting to combine something that has made it. I believe it's really given us a very important edge. In all the years that I've been pretty much connected to show business actively, professionally, I've seen that only one single production has been able to pull off the sequel part successfully. By that meaning that if they make a first movie and the movie is very successful and makes a lot of money, then normally they make a second or a third, depending how good it is. But then, right, as you know, then the second makes less, the third less, and by the third, it's pretty much non-existent.
Right.
Well, Fast and the Furious is the only one that has done the opposite.
There's so many of them.
The first one was good. The second one was better. And every single movie they make makes more money than the previous. And so what's going on there? Why is one single production able to really pull it off instead of all of them when they all have very good production quality? And the reason is that within the plot, most productions really have a very concrete and condensed lead nucleus. By that meaning, you only have one lead or two leads, and they have a very limited identification in the lead characters. Fast and Furious has, I believe, in between 7 and 9 different lead characters.
Wow.
There might be one or two that are very lead, but they're all 9 very equally important, and they have very equally important plots developing within the movie, and at the same time, that allows much broader demographics to be able to identify with. Because when you have a movie that you have, you know, the African-American, the Hispanic, the Asian, the European, and every single tone or race that you can think of, you know, on your book, they are being represented, you know, equally important in the plot, then that makes more people from all over the world really truly want to see what's going on because they can identify more with the plot.
Right.
So we actually utilize something similar by that utilizing a formula with more leads, more multi-ethnic type of characters, and all of them very much equally important within the development of the plot. That way, to apply the same formula they apply for the Fast and the Furious in film, but to apply it for the TV format, which so far we have not really seen a production doing it at that level. And we hope to have, you know, the same responses, Fast and Furious, you know, from my mouth to God's ears.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I mean, it sounds pretty good. I saw the trailer and it's pretty, you know, it's rough. I mean, the way the people behave towards each other in many ways. There's murder, there's betrayal, there's all kinds of things going on there. So,
it is.
Yeah, you know, so it sounds really interesting, and it does take place in L.A. as well. So,
People love drama too. Yeah, you know, they love those like intense family situations. You know, so many people go through so much behind closed doors. So when they see that representation on TV, they're like, yes.
Amazing. Oh my God. It is so incredible. You know what's incredible? That how understated a word that sometimes comes out and people kind of underestimate the meaning of it, which is the telenovela or soap opera style.
Right.
You know, when a lot of people hear that word, they go, oh yeah, you know what, it's lower acting or lower. No, my friend. Uh-huh. No, this is a completely different scenario. When you have the soap opera or the novella style, you're not talking about the hyper drama. You're talking about the reality of disclosing that some dirty details of your dirty laundry that every single human has, basically. Right. And unfortunately, as viewers, we like to view the positive and also the negative of the characters, you know?
Right.
And sometimes the more negative they have, the juicier they get as far as characters.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
And that's why when you have a scenario like Dallas, which was really a TV show and not a soap opera or a telenovela, but it had exactly the same ingredient, that balance, that tug of war between good and evil within the family.
Yeah.
And two characters that presented that continuous drama. What happened in the entire planet? That was the number one TV show. Why? Because he created that. He created that scenario where a lot of people around the world were really, seeing the good and the bad of something they never knew even existed in society as far as other sides of the stratus of how people live.
Right.
So we try to do something very similar here, but with the scenario of the West Coast, societal breakdown in which the Hispanics are a very important part of the demographics, yet they are not having, they have not been really considered as important as they truly are, numerically speaking.
Right.
So this plot shines a light as he would be shown on a circle of people that are truly as important as other, meaning that Hispanics can be as important as any other group, as Asians, as Blacks, as Whites, as any other group. But when you could actually combine all the groups and make them equally important and make them interact with each other, that's when you have the click.
Yeah.
Because then you have everybody identifying with what's going on at an equal level.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to do.
Right.
It's a representation in a way of like how I think a lot of people feel that they want the future to be. They want it to be more diverse. They want more groups to be collaborative just in life in general.
Right.
Absolutely. It's part of human nature. There is no stopping to evolution. We live in the same sphere. There is no separation of characters here, no matter how theoretically, connected we are to separation of colors or creeds, or that doesn't quite exist when you really coexist in the same sphere. So at some point, we're all going to intermix. At some point, humans going to evolve in ways in which everybody will have pretty much a DNA of everybody.
Right.
On our stream.
No, that's true.
There is no room. There is no room for that differentiation that we're making right now.
Right. No, that's true. The new TV series is called Sangre Negra Black Blood. You can see this on Tubi, T-U-B-I, streaming there. Let's give credit to a few people. Who is the originator of the series? Who wrote it, directed, produced?
Well, the two main heads are the director, Frank Pinnock, and the writer, who is Tony McKay, who plays also Pre-Ricky. They basically, they had the original idea, and one day they just came up to my house, and we've been friends for many years now. And a few years ago, they came up, they called me, and they said, you know what, we have this idea. It's going to take about 30 minutes to, go to your house and talk to you about it, see what you think. Okay, come over. They came over, the 30 minutes turned out to be 5 to 7 hours.
Right,
just sitting down, brainstorming. We loved it. The more ideas came out, the more we loved it. It started, like the skeleton of the show started coming out, like right. different possible characters and plots and everything just in one single, you know, in one single moment, you know,
that's the
out
best
of one
feeling.
Idea that they had. And actually, it turned out to be our baby. You know, it's been our project, and it's been, you know, our love for production, you know, for the past few years. And it's been a very, very hard scenario to go completely independent as far as finance, because then it becomes hard, but it becomes very pleasurable to achieve something when you have achieved it without the help of any major network or studio or huge financier that will put all the money. It's different than when you have to really gather the money in bits and pieces and put it all together throughout, you know, throughout the years, basically.
That's true.
Are you guys all having fun with the acting of it? I'm an actor as well, so I love hearing about really juicy scripts and things like that, because, I mean, you know how it is. We do a lot of really like hollow gigs and, you know, some commercials and things like that. So it's really nice when you get to sink your teeth into something good.
Absolutely. And you know, what's even more interesting is when you have those that meat on the bone of the characters, and then on top of that, then you have the chemistry with the actors, and not just professionally, but also personally, then a lot of incredible magic comes out of those scenes, you know, because you have real interaction, you have real chemistry happening, only, you know, used in ways with different lines, but there are people that truly know each other and truly give the chemistry that you see on the screen.
And that helps, so, you know, I mean the fact that you guys knew each other and everything, I'm sure, helped a great deal.
Oh, it makes a big difference.
It's so
big
great,
especially when you have
close.
Those scenes between the three brothers that we really play, you know, when you get the sibling relationship. Sometimes, depending on how functional or dysfunctional it could be, you can be 50 years old, you can be 80 years old, and still behave like kids sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And that is the scenario that sometimes arises between the three brothers, which is quite interesting, and it takes very specific chemistry for that to happen.
That's true.
So we truly enjoy it. And not to mention working with Eric Estrada or Eric Roberts that are just wow, you know?
Yeah.
I'm so glad you guys got to find each other.
Yeah, very cool, man. Very cool. How long have you been acting now? For a while? Have you had a long career?
Yes, I've been involved in acting since I was almost in high school, at high school level, from high school to college. So it's been here and there, dabbing, you know, then it got more serious as it went on throughout the years. And now I'm pretty much involved, you know, heart and mind, not just in the acting part, but in the production side. So I'm involved in every possible way you can think of, you know, and I love the creation of the content. That's pretty much the main goal and pleasure that one could have in this experience.
Right. Sounds great. Do you guys have like a social media website where people can find out more about the series?
Absolutely. We have a the website, which is Sangre Negra.
Okay.
As in the show. The TVSeries.com.
Okay.
There we have the trailers. We have description of characters. We have the different plots. We have everything connected to the show, headshots and pictures of everything and everyone. And right now we have the first four episodes on Tubi.
Right.
And we are on Facebook also as Sangre Negra. So we are also on Instagram. And we would love for people to follow us and to give us all the support they have and to give us any positive critic, because we are here, you know, to evolve and improve and give the viewer, you know, the best experience possible.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, you can pretty much guess the intensity when one brother is the criminal, the other one is the lawyer, the other one is the cop, you know, and they're all like mixed together, you
what
know.
What a power dynamic.
Yeah, you know. So
and they're truly true to themselves. It's like the cop is a cop. It's not really corrupt or anything. The lawyer is a lawyer. It's not really, you know, lawyers are kind of great. They're kind of in between the edge of the blade, basically. You know?
Totally.
And the other guy is really the bad guy, without but highly intelligent. Right. So it's a very interesting dynamic because no one hides it, and everyone is true to themselves in that sense.
Yeah.
I feel like the villain is always really intelligent. That's like when I was a kid, I grew up always wanting to be like, you know, the sparkly lead. And then as I got older, I realized that that's not a representation of me at all. And that the villain is actually the really interesting character. You know, like they're the one with such a point of view. They always have so much grit to them, so much backstory.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
Absolutely. It's connected to what I was saying before about the dirty laundry. The more evil the character, the more meat it has in the bones. So you, as an actor, you can really do wonders with that. Sometimes the goody two-shoe characters are so squeaky clean that there is not much to work with. You know?
Yeah, they're just so good, you know.
True that. Well, Ricardo Arranz, the series is Sangre Negra, translated into Black Blood. You can check that. I also see you have a trailer. If you guys want to check the trailer out on Vimeo, you can see that. And there's a link to current episodes, too, on TubiTV.com. That's TubiTV.com. And you can find the show there, I understand. And, Ricky, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, guys. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I think you do a great dynamic show with very good energy for the morning.
Well, thank you. Always nice to get good criticism, you know. But, so congratulations to you on this, on the role that you have. And we're looking forward to watching this, you know. I mean, like I said, I saw the trailer. It seems fascinating to me. I'm going to definitely watch this. And, you know, a great cast as well. You know, I mean, the actors seem to be very convincing in what I saw.
You know, so. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah.
You've got
good
a follower on Instagram from me.
Yeah. So. There you go. Ricardo.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you for the support.
Okay. Thank you so much, my friend, and take care.
All right.
Take care. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you
I
see,
love that.
Jen, there's room for good actors and everything, you know?
Yeah.
Just be persistent, you know?
Oh, I am.
Yeah.
Like, not Don't to toot my own horn, but I talk to people who have been in L.A. for, like, 3 or 4 years, and people cannot believe how much I've just done such a variety of things while I've been here.
Well, that's good. You're ambitious and you're persistent, you know?
I'm grabbing everything important. That comes my way.
Right,
you
and
know?
Some people just... that's below me, you know, it's like, I won't do this. And they don't understand that it's a process, you know, a progression type of thing.
Totally.
Know?
Like the first feature film that I got to do that because I got a job as a personal assistant.
Right.
To somebody who had not that much, she was an actress, but, she didn't have that much experience producing. And I've produced much smaller scale things, but when you work on indie projects, you have to wear so many hats. Right. So you're not just locations. You're not just producer or permits or whatever. Like, you're doing literally everything. And everyone's kind of like overlapping on each other a little bit because no one knows for sure that they can trust everyone to do what they're supposed to do. Or maybe that's just me. But, you know, one day I was kind of like, she was really frustrated. I was like, can I like speak up? And she's like, yes, please. And I just kind of laid out a whole plan that I had come up with. And she loved it and was like, I would like to actually bump you up to associate producer role. And you have a lot of great ideas. So if you want to go ahead and write a scene for yourself, we can write a scene for you and the lead and put it in the film.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, definitely. 100%, you know. And then she let me write a bunch of other scenes and help with edits. And we just really learned to trust each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, she... You know, we've had our ups and downs, but she's been really good to me.
Very nice.
You know?
Yeah. So it's also new connections as well, who you're connecting with. You know?
It's building rapport. It's having camaraderie. It's being yourself. And, you know, a lot of people, it's like a big no-no in the old school industry, like never to speak up in front of the director, but I am me. And sometimes I'm just kind of like, hey, I have an idea. And I don't know, people are usually open to it. I've never had a director really say like, no, you can't talk or like right. don't speak. Everyone's always like, yeah, like out with it. And then yeah. I say an idea and people are either like, that's great. Or, oh, I have an idea to bounce off of that, you know? Right. And for me, like ideas rooms are never about my idea is better than yours. It's always about like, because most of the time how it works when you're with open people is, you know, I say an idea and then that sparks something in your mind.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, well, we could do that and then add that to it. And then someone else is like, yeah, and then that aspect. And then another person chimes in.
Right.
And then it just becomes this like huge right. Collaborative idea.
Yeah, that's how I imagine his story when he said they got together and everything, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, and you don't yeah. think, you don't know it's going to be a big deal or anything, but then, you know, you get into it and stuff and it can really break away. And then,
yeah. And it's a great feeling when you're with people that you feel comfortable being out with your ideas and they feel the same. And it's just the energy is flowing and you're like, this and this and this. And the writing is just spewing out of you. Cause sometimes you sit down to write and it's like,
there's nothing.
It's crickets. You know what I mean? And I'm like scratching my head. I'm like, I guess I'll go have a snack or something, you know? But it's just, it's a really, it's a magical moment when you have those moments when everyone's kind of collaborating and on the same page. And
yeah
it's really good.
Oh, well, sounds good to me. You know, I don't know that I could handle this, but it's a lot of pressure, you know, a lot of pressure. But more power to you, you know? I mean, that's what I can say.
See, for me, it's like pressure to have like a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
People find a lot of stability in 9-to-5. I find... Yeah. That's like,
I know.
So trapped by that.
I know.
But like to each their own, you know, everyone's brain works differently.
Yeah. Some people want the security, you know, and the stability and everything. And the 9-to-5 works just fine for them, you know.
My roommate, he loves a 9-to-5. He thinks my schedule sucks. He can't stand when I don't have a call time until like 5 hours before I'm supposed to be there or like a 16-hour day. He cannot wrap his brain around it.
Yeah.
He loves to, you know, go to work. Work 9-to-5, come home.
Know what to expect.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I mean, people like different things.
And we're both doing great things. Like, he works in, he works for the Israel Philharmonic.
Oh, wow.
So, they're doing a lot of, he actually just did an interview with Alex Ross, who worked for the New Yorker for a long time. They did an interview about Wagner, who is kind of labeled as a white
Nazi sympathizer.
So they don't really play his music in Israel, and they don't play it at any of their concerts for the Israel Philharmonic. And Wagner's actually an amazing composer. If you listen to his music, it's wonderful. So there's a lot of inflammation on that topic in that environment. But it was a really great interview. Yeah. So check it out. It's for a limited time.
Yeah. I know. Did you hear that Lady Gaga's dogs were kidnapped?
No.
Yeah. Apparently, and it's not funny because the guy that walked them was shot. So there's two guys attempted to steal three dogs, Lady Gaga's three dogs, from their dog walker. And the dog walker is a friend of the family, whatever. They shot him. He's in stable condition. They took two of the dogs and disappeared. So now Lady Gaga is putting out $500,000.
What happened to the third
reward?
Dog?
Probably stayed with the walker, So
oh my God, that's
I
insane.
Know, man, and it's like,
where was he walking the dogs?
Here in L.A., you know, I'm not sure where, what part of L.A.
Man,
they said it.
So somebody must have been following him and known that that was the dog walker for Gaga.
Right, exactly. And they figured they're probably going to kidnap them for a ransom or something.
Did the dog walker survive?
He's in stable condition.
Okay, that's good.
But he struggled with the suspects and was shot. And then they took two of the dogs and fled the scene.
That's so scary.
Yeah. She offered $500,000 for the dogs.
If anyone ever stole my cats, just know that I would find you.
I mean, the guys that kidnapped them could could come up and that's usually what they do is like, I mean, they tell you no questions asked, you know.
Yeah.
So then the thief can go and turn the dog back and get the ransom. But I don't see that it's going to happen.
That's insane. I'm surprised she doesn't have a big enough property to like walk around
in the
yard or something. That's not me throwing shade. That's just me thinking.
Well, who would have expected something like that?
Yeah, nobody would expect that.
Yeah.
Nobody.
It's crazy.
Man.
Fucking people, man.
Every day I just want to walk around with a bulletproof vest on more and more. Everyone's like, you're crazy. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga's dog walker got shot. Like, it could be anyone.
Wow. The dogs' name are Koji and Gustavo.
Aw, well, we're praying for you, Koji and Gustavo.
So they have an email now. If you have any information on the case, write to kojiandgustav@gmail.com.
You're praying for Gaga. Right.
Yeah. Well, we feel bad for the dogs, but let's admit it, we feel worse for the walker, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
it's a human being, you know?
Yeah.
But whatever.
The dogs are probably scared.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you imagine offering $500,000 for dogs? She must really love them or have a lot of money or both.
I would. Be like, I don't have $500,000, but I'll like come over and do your dishes or something. Like, I have a Honda Civic. You want my Honda Civic? That's the best I could do.
Yeah. Oh, well, whatever. There's a lot of things I wanted to talk about because there's a lot of things wrong with the world today. But we got to run. Just let me bring this up quickly. Did you hear about Potato Head, the toy? Hasbro decided that they're not going to Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. So now it's just non-gender Potato Head.
Okay.
So that's okay with you?
I think they should have all three.
Well, shouldn't they like, I mean, aren't they like erasing who we are as human beings? I mean, we're male and female. Who are we trying to please here?
Yeah, but I mean, look, there are people that are gender non-conformant.
Okay, but they're the minority, you know? We can't change the whole world for a few people that might get offended.
I know, but I think that they should just sell additional parts that are non-gender conforming parts, like still have.
But why?
I don't know. Just options.
Just to keep the peace.
I mean, I just think options are good. You know?
Oh, man. I wrote on Facebook. I said the next thing they'll want to do is mutilate our genitalia so we don't know who we are anymore. I don't know. I'm just mad at these things because they're canceling everything, you know, and it's really getting to me.
There's always going to be men. There's always going to be women. And there's always going to be a lot of in between. And I think it's the people who they can't help that they do feel in between.
Right. But it's not a lot of people that are in between. I really don't think so. You know?
Sure. I'm sure it's still definitely a minority.
Right. So if you try to appease every minority, there's no end to it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think it's a big deal that they're just giving it options. I think they should have Mr. and Mrs. and they should also have a non-gender conforming Potato Head for those who identify with any of the three.
And how many kids are really identifying as transgender?
Well, not necessarily transgender. Just because they're gender non-conforming doesn't mean they're transgender.
But they don't know what gender non-conforming is. This is a kid. I mean, someone who plays with Potato Head is a kid.
Well, yeah, I mean, I identify as a woman and I still played with Mr. Potato Head.
Right, and what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with
that. Right, so yeah. I don't think we need gender neutral things here, especially because it's a small group, you know? We can't, like, there's so many small groups, everyone wants attention, which is fine, you know, we'll accept you.
Yeah.
But you're not going to change and ram down our throats your unusual beliefs. Because they are unusual. Most people don't feel that way.
I think maybe the company making the actual potato is
Hasbro. And
Hasbro, yeah. I think maybe it's just a symbol, if anything, of like being an ally.
Right, but how many people are going to actually feel that way and go and buy the toy because of it? You know?
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, they're going to lose a lot of people in trying to gain new people that are a minority, so we'll see. But that's the point. I mean, that's at the same time when Coca-Cola instructs people to try. This is the quote, try to be less white. What does that mean? Be less oppressive, less arrogant, less certain, less defensive, less ignorant, more humble. What is that? You know, I mean,
wait, what company is saying that?
Coca-Cola. So what are we like supposed to now feel bad that we're white people? I mean, what the hell? So that's what pisses me off, you know. And yeah. I'm not the only one, but
no, of course you're not the only one. Yeah, no, I hear you. I think that people we're in a pivotal point right now. And so I think nobody really knows what direction as far as companies and representation of their companies go. I don't really think companies fully know how to navigate the situation. So they're trying to create a balance or I don't know the word I'm looking for.
But it's not a balance because now they're offending another group in order to bring up another, you know. So it's like there's no end to this, you know.
Yeah, I don't think that I'm trying to figure out what I'm trying to say. Yeah, I can understand how that would be offensive for right. sure for white people. Right. I get that. I think at the same time, they're just trying to be more neutral.
Right. Which that I don't think they'll be neutral. It's not neutral when you're picking on one group or other, you know. It's just that they decided to go, you know, all fall the other way and try to explain their actions, you know. And I don't know. Anyway, I don't agree with that.
I think their goal is to try and become an ally, and I don't think companies necessarily know exactly how to do that. So right. I don't think that they really said the right thing. I think their intention was probably right, but right. I don't think saying like less white right. was specifically a good choice of words.
Right. But that reflects the attitude, you know. And I think what it reflects is just trying to appease everybody, whoever's the loudest, you know, and I don't know about that. But at any rate, I mean, I heard that in schools they want to do the same thing, which like sensitivity training or whatever they call it, you know. But to me, that sounds like Big Brother and it bothers me. But anyway, I had to vent. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for taking it. And for those of you playing with Potato Head, I don't care if it's Mr. or Mrs., just play with it. It's cool. And that's it. I wish I had it when I was a kid.
Yeah, like I used to put a dress and a mustache on my potato head. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
You know? I think everyone just like exist how you feel you need to exist.
Yeah, exactly. Don't ram your ideas down people's throat because it makes them oppose you as opposed to sympathize with you.
I think it feels like it's being rammed down throats only because times are changing. And so it's like more people are coming out about how they feel about things, more people than we anticipated or that the gen pop is anticipating. So I think because there's so many more people coming out about it and it's now a time for freedom for coming out about it, it feels like it's, you know, an overload to some people or that it's being rammed down their throats. But, you know, I mean, no one's walking down the street with signs, you know, telling you to conform or anything. It's people on the internet. It's, you know, people
well,
just out there,
it's
you know.
Government and big institutions. I mean, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. I think it's just a pivotal moment in time.
Yeah.
And it feels maybe overwhelming to some people.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're way over time.
Are we?
But that's all okay right. because it's Friday and what the hell, you know.
All right.
And, yeah, so have a great weekend, Jen.
Thanks, you too.
Keep busy. Stay out of trouble. Yeah. God knows I'm trying to.
Yeah.
And to our listeners, thank you all for listening. Thank you to Ricardo for calling in.
Yes, Ricardo.
Check out the show, and we'll see you all on Monday.
Monday.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.